any others this morning? Joys, concerns, prayers, praises as we prepare to come before the Lord. Then let us put ourselves together. Let us set our hearts in that moment and that unspoken request that's too great, that has been written or is upon your heart, as we come forward, just a hand up and down. Amen. Let us pray together. I think we start off in this way, Father, by being reminded there is a hell. And that by faith in your Son, belief in your Son, we ain't got to see it. But we need to pray for those who don't get it yet. And so we need to be thankful, Father. And we need to be prayerful and mindful of those who are still lost and still failing. We commit to you so many prayers that have not been spoken, that they, sometimes it's just within here and it wants to be kept within there. Or written down on a slip of paper and put in this box over which we pray. And certainly, Father, we want you to be with those affected by Hurricane Sandy. And so many things that will still go on in the weeks and months to come. Somebody said, where were you at during this? You were there. In this time, I ask that so many prayers are actually turned to you and that lives are changed and salvation is brought forth. And maybe through this, some people will come to truly know your Son Jesus and be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Father, for those who are not with us today, for whatever reason, whether they're up there, family members that are touched that are up there, friends and loved ones, those that can't be here today because of sickness that are being held away from here or whatever it is that keeps them from being within their family on a Sunday morning, Father, we pray their blessing, that they be kept safe and be brought back. For traveling mercies, Father. For the continuing journey of a young life. As he seeks a higher education, let that education be coupled to constantly seeking you and showing it to those around. And for the family, it's hard, that empty nest. Strengthen them. They know where he's going and that he's protected by you. But still bring him peace and comfort, Father. Thank you for blessings, for prayers answered, for no cancer. Power of prayer. We know in those little moments that you're there, Father. We know that you are guiding. We know that everything is being done by your will, according to your desire, according to everything that you have laid out for us, and we need to simply follow it. You bless us greatly as a church, Father, as a body. Let us come together when the time is called upon to support in whatever way we can those who have been victimized. And we don't say it enough, but thank you for music, for being able to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The songs we sing, they're not picked out because they're picked out because you have guided that in that direction. Thank you for birthdays, Father. It ain't just another day. It's the day a creation breathed first. And as we approach Tuesday, November the 6th, we pray that this nation have elected leaders that still believe in one nation under God, the only true God there is, the God of our Father, the God that is over Jesus Christ, that will follow that direction, not their own silly foolishness. Father, that we will become blessed again. Watch over, protect, and keep those who are out serving us today in whatever capacity. And bind us together through the Lord's prayer. prayer, through those words that Jesus laid out, let us echo them. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. Open your Bibles, please, and I'll give you a hint. That's just before 2 John. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 7 through 12. His letters, the disciple allowed to live to the very end of his life so that he may record, so that he may talk of, so that he may continue to minister. God's love and ours. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives within us, and his love is made complete in us. May God add his blessing to this passage. As we seek him, would you join with me in prayer to set us for the message? Heavenly Father, set aside our labors. Let us concentrate fully on this message. Let these words, not mine, be strong and strengthening and lifting. And Father, we ask for your guidance and strength and compassion and order as we receive your message. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You know what that is? That is Christ. Got your attention now, don't I? That is Christ. Now, I know you're going in the back of your mind, okay, he has finally slipped a gear. What in the world is he talking about? Well, guess what? I've built my words back up, and we're going to talk about that. That peanut butter cracker is Christ. Aren't you wondering what I'm talking about? Go ahead, shake your heads. Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to explain it to you. I love eating peanut butter crackers. Amen. My grandmother, thank you very much, David. See, you know, I'm on the right track already. My grandmother, my father's mother, would make us peanut butter crackers as little children. And that was a big treat. And she would let us make them ourselves. You know, you had to put a cracker and a peanut butter and a cracker and a peanut butter and a cracker and a peanut butter cracker until it was about that tall. And then try to open your big mouth to stuffle that in. And I see some grandmas in here smiling because I know they have done that. Do you know why? Because she loved me. But it's much more than that. You see, when I was going into junior high school and I had to go and live with my father at that point and my new stepmother, my mother, I don't know if she ever heard me say it. I don't even know where it came from. But every day in my lunch pail, every day, there was a couple of peanut butter crackers in there. It didn't matter to me what in the world was going on at school. I knew that if I got to lunch without getting locked up in the principal's office again, there were peanut butter crackers in my lunch bucket waiting on me. Do you know why? Because she loved me enough to give me that little moment, that little sign of love, those peanut butter crackers. Something so insignificant that you wouldn't even consider a treat by today's standard. Most people, when you say, hey, why don't you come in and sit down, and kids come running in the house, I want to eat something sweet while I make some peanut butter. I don't want no peanut butter crackers. That little insignificant moment, wrapped in wax paper, told me that she loved me enough to give me that. She kept putting broccoli in there too, but that's another issue. Now that may seem simple enough, but that memory makes me think of someone who loved me. And the other day I was having peanut butter crackers because it was raining and I was hungry. And I wanted peanut butter crackers. And as I was making them, it suddenly into the head. Hey, do you remember? And people that I sat with lunch would sit next to me at lunch and go, you got peanut butter crackers again? Yes, I did. Can I have some? No. Well, I'd share them every so often. She didn't have to do that. She could have slapped a bologna sandwich in a bag, and that was it. Friends, do you understand that that's what Christ has taught us? That is the love, at that minuscule point, that is the love that Christ teaches. Not big, grandiose signs. Oh, you go out and you buy somebody a brand new car, or maybe your favorite pastor needs another tractor. It's that simple. Peanut butter crackers is Christ and His love for us. That's what John is writing. That's what he's saying there today. And that's what I got reminded of. I got reminded that today, Paul, I want you to teach and remind people what Christ's love truly is. It's not something that you have to try to put in to great grand ideas. Oh, it's good if you can. And there are celebrated artists who know how to paint. There are writers who are fantastic. There are pastors who can speak in grand terms and they'll get the point across. But he wanted me to remind you, brothers and sisters, my family, that His love was as simple as peanut butter crackers. Hallelujah! Amen. And that's what he wrote. Dear friends, verse 7, let us love one another. And show that love. And don't be afraid of it. I've often said, and I'll continue to say it, as a preacher's kid, I got to go through a lot of different churches, and some churches were cold, and some were lukewarm, and some were hot. And I always enjoyed going into a hot church. And this is a hot church. I ain't never seen a stranger come through that door that the church probably didn't scare them a little bit by how fast they came over. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? It's a big giant hug. And brothers and sisters, that is a little bit of Christ's love. And that's what we give out. And that's what we're supposed to give out. Something simple. If you read those five verses, you'll understand. What did God do? He did the grand thing. He sent Jesus. There is a story about a priest, who wanted to do a Sunday evening service on Christ's love for us. And I wished I'd have thought of it, because it's pretty good. He simply had everybody come into the sanctuary and he turned all the lights off and he waited until it got dark. And then he just simply took a candle, a big candle, and he walked up to the cross. And he held the candle up to the crown of thorns. And then he held the candle at this point, and at this point, to show where the nails went in. And then he held it down at the feet to show where the nails went in. And then he simply blew out the candle and the service was over. That's the grand scheme. There ain't nothing we can do as humans on this earth that great. But we can make peanut butter crackers. We can show love here, 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 every day, every moment, to our neighbors, to the people we don't like. That's a tough one, ain't it there, Christians? How much fun is it for you to go to somebody you really don't like and talk to them and be nice to them and actually get down on your knees and pray for them? I don't always do so well at it. I sometimes think my knees won't go all the way to the floor. But we'd have to. We're commanded to. We're taught to. Paul or John, writing in these words, says it. This is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Verse 12, that's a hard verse. If you want to put a verse off to the side this week and keep looking at it and keep reminding yourself of who you are, you ought to go back to verse 12 and keep reading it all week long. No one has ever seen God. No one. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Oh, what a beautiful verse. What a hard to live by verse. What a powerful verse. Because you get judged on it. Chuck Swindoll has said, and I may have shared this in here, I don't know. He don't have any Christian symbols on his vehicle. Because if he was measured by how he acts when he drives with them Christian symbols on there, he'd be in a lot of trouble. I don't have any on my vehicle. It ain't about what you slap on the bumper or hang on the wall or put on your t-shirt or wear on your hat, or on your key fob, or whatever. It's what's in here. That's what comes out. If you ain't got it here, you can't give it out. When I was thinking about becoming a pastor the first time around, and actually contemplating it, I said something to my dad, and my dad goes, well, I'm going to tell you one thing. You got to learn to fill up before you can pour out. Dude, how true is that? You can't pour out till you're full up. You can't give that little bit of love until you understand what love truly is. It's peanut butter crackers. I have seen over and over again where people will go great lengths, as they call themselves Christians, to take care of somebody they don't know, but somebody that they're close to, they don't show them that love. We got to stop that nonsense. William Schultz, writing in the magazine Bits and Pieces back in 1990, gave this little snippet into his home life. He was talking about his daughter. He said, when she was about 3 years old, one night, she requested my aid in getting undressed. I was downstairs. She was upstairs. I have two children. I understand his feeling. I'm all the way downstairs, and they need help doing something they already know how to do. And now I've got to trudge all the way up them stairs to help them with it. And well, I hollered up the steps. You know how to undress yourself. Yes, she explained. But sometimes people need people anyway, even if they know how to do these things by themselves. Oh, the knowledge of little children. Why don't you go over there and help so-and-so cut their grass? Why? No, I'm going to go over there and help. They've got a mower that runs better than mine does. Yeah, but he ain't feeling well. Why don't you do the things that you need to do to show that love? Well, I'll tell you why. Because sometimes we forget that Christ's love is simple as that. It's that easy. It comes to us. It shows us that by responding, by showing that love, by reaching forward, guess what? Then the blessings start. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I don't know. Did anybody make sure that they kept on looking for that just one good thing? All right, Suzanne, that's the only hand I saw go up. Now everybody's going up. You don't want me to preach that sermon again, do you? She's even got her list. Just one good thing. That's the blessing. F.E. Marsh has enumerated some of God's blessings, but the one that he gives us, it's a great one. It comes from Hebrews, or he backs it up there. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, F.E. Myers writes, a hope that can never be disappointed. And the Hebrew writer says these words, verse 18, excuse me, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Now let me break those two verses down, because there's a lot of meat there. When we love someone, as simple as that, we give them that hope. That curtain that the Hebrew writer is talking about is that veil that we often put across our heart. Maybe because we're afraid to show we're Christians. I don't know. I'm not. Of course, I don't have any sense. We've all established that. I challenged the people that I spoke to last week to do my favorite restaurant thing. Just suddenly in the middle of a restaurant, lean over to the next table and go, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Where are you going? Come back. And be prepared for the answer, because sometimes somebody might talk to you and say, yes, I do. Our love is so simple. You know, in the Bible, there are a lot of recorded moments of the great things that Christ did. They're not fairy tales. They're not could have happened. They did happen. And if you read your Bible and if you study it, there are some things there that you ought to start thinking about. When you think about Christ, you also have to think about him as a human. I'm sure there are a lot of unrecorded moments. As a matter of fact, there are. When he just simply loved. He just simply did something simple. He just took a hold of someone and said, I love you. Maybe, as he was walking through a village with the disciples, he stopped to play with the children. Kick a ball, catch a ball, do whatever it is they did back then. What did they do back then, I wonder? Maybe he just suddenly walked up and, can I eat with you today? Boy, you'd like to hear your door knock and see that door open up, and there he stood, wouldn't you? How fast would you clean your house up? Right? He showed love simply. Simply. We overlook it. In the Gospel of Mark, in the very first chapter, in the 40th verse, listen to these words. A man with leprosy came to him and begged on his knees, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 41, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. I am willing. I want to love you. I want to know you. I want to be next with you. I want to share in your sorrow and in your times of loss. I want there to be there when you are praising. I want to stand right next to you, Paul Leatherman, when you start backsliding again. That is peanut butter crackers. It is such a simple love. That's all we need to remember. We don't have to do great, grand things. We can if we do, and they're all wonderful, and they're all out there, but we get a picture of Christ when we do the simplest things. Do you know, and this is not an advertisement, but do you know that when one of you ladies brings me cookies, pies, or whatever, that you couldn't give me a bar of gold that would be worth more? Not just because I love pie, I mean, but because somebody said, hey, I love him. Norma walked into a mess and she's about to get called out. See, that there is Norma Coe. Norma Coe makes cinnamon bread with extra cinnamon on it. And whenever we go to the tractor shows and Norma comes there to cook and help out with the cooking, Norma brings that cinnamon bread. And everybody gets excited about it. And it don't last very long. But Polly Poo gets his own little piece off to the side, handed to him quietly where nobody can see, because I imagine the other people there would kill me for it. That's love. That's the love of Christ. That is the love that John is writing about. That is the moment. That is the simplest form of love. You know, the greatest picture I love of Christ, and there's a lot of them. I've loved seeing all kinds of them. But that one that we've all seen when he's walking along by himself with the sheep around him and he's holding a lamb. That one tears me. There's one in my office. That gets me every time. How simple is it to hold a lamb? It ain't fun. I done told you how I feel about sheep. We had neighbors that farmed them, and every time you tried to pick up a lamb, that thing was kicking around. And of course, it would make a mess all over you because it was scared. But in that picture, it's just laid back against him. That simple love. That simple, simple moment. When you open your lunch pail up at lunch, you find peanut butter crackers. That's how simple it is. That's how wonderful God has laid things out when he sent his son down. One of the hardest things that he could have ever done, one of the greatest things that he could ever have done, was to send his son down to us, and we need to remember it. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Open your Bibles. This is the backup verse for this week. If you're starting to get lost and thinking who you are, if you're starting to think about peanut butter crackers and how simple it is, you've got to remember that that little point in love that can make me think about Christ, that can make you go back to a warm memory and think about love, is because of one simple reason. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. For he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Amen.
Amen.
That's a powerful verse. And it ain't even finished. It goes on from there. But that first part of that verse, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Sometimes we even get tricked into it, right? When we're trying to be funny and we think we're doing something extra. we find ourselves giving out that love. My brothers, my sisters, it is a simple sermon. It doesn't need a lot of flourish. I was so excited when I got the message that I was to talk about peanut butter crackers today. I ate a bunch of them. And then I remembered God's other promise. Milk. Can't eat peanut butter crackers without milk. But it made me think about Him. It made me think about what He has, what He has offered, how He can light the way. You know, today's been kind of a humorous sermon, and here not too long ago, I got a little chastised for that. And I stumbled across something while preparing for this sermon today from the great Charles Spurgeon, the great evangelist. If you've ever read any of his stuff, man, I can't wait to see him in heaven, and I hope he's preaching. You know, Charles was a loose cannon. He preached the way he wanted to, when he wanted to, and he really didn't care about outlines or structures or teachings or theologically or any of that kind of stuff. He just got up there and got at it. And he was chastised because he put humor in his sermon, and he made this statement. He said, well, I'd rather put a moment of humor than a half an hour of slumber. Let that one sink in for a minute. He'd rather see God's word as beautiful and wonderful and lift it up than to be something that dulls it down. And when I see something as simple as peanut butter crackers teaching me about Christ's love, you're going to get preached to you on it. Amen. Amen. And it lifted you up, didn't it? Amen. You're smiling. You know that when you leave here today, what you need to do is find Christ's love in here and share it out there. Right? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, you've taught us yet again another lesson. You have reminded us how simple Christ's love for us really is, and how simple it is for us to share. You have reminded us yet again that the beauty and glory contained within is not meant to be held by us, but to be shared out. Yes, we take the Word, we take the Bible, holy and completely true and unerring, and we hide it within our heart that we may not sin, but we don't hide the love, we don't hide the grace, we don't hide the mercy, we don't hide the hope. We share it so that others would come to know it and not be closed into the gates of hell. And so, Father, let us show the simplest love. Let us just know that our brothers and sisters sitting right next to us still need to hear those words, as well as everybody outside those doors. And in the week to come, let us use that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have a particular need this morning, you need to come forward as we sing this last hymn. You don't need me to pray for you. If you just want to come up here and accept that power, if you need my prayer or some help, you let me know. But if you want to come up here and just sit and pray, it's open to you. It's open.
Please stand and turn to page 488.
Thank you.
just as I am. That's how He brought us in. Just as I am, to share that love. Just as I am. Brothers and sisters, today, as we go from here, I pray the blessings rain down upon you that you may share it with others. May your feet be made strong to walk in the path that has been given to you for the week to come. May the trials and tribulations not affect you, but strengthen you. May you come closer to our Father. And now I pray upon you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.